You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Rewind Football Fantasy. Fantasy Football Rewind.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour two of the Fantasy Football Rewind Show right here on Fantasy Sports Radio. Joe Pizzapia with you, Dan Strapper, Kevin Walsh, running the ones and twos tonight, playing DJ, and of course, making dreams come true, as Dan mentioned before. Third hour, John Law is going to join us, but in this hour, we're going to get to the fantasy studs and duds. We're also going to release the hounds, talk about some of our season-long leagues or daily lineups that might not have gone well, things that we thought were going to work that didn't, things that should have worked but were absolute abject failures. But before we do, Dan, I had a fun story I figured I'd let you know. It's something I wanted to let everybody know, too, in case as you get older and you start to move into those 55 and over communities. My cousin was up last week from...
Which cousin?
No, his older cousin. So older cousin. Not Donnie. Okay. Not that not cousin. Donnie. No. No, this is my older cousin. She's in her 80s, right? Okay, she came up with some family a couple weeks ago, and they were hanging out. And this is important. I want you to know. This is like...
I'm listening.
This is the senior citizen version of Tinder, apparently. This is how it works.
Oh, sure.
If you're single. I don't know if you know this or not, but apparently
I know things. Go on.
Do you know this grocery store thing? About the pineapple, do you know this? Are you aware of this?
No, I don't. I'm not.
Well, this
is
a public service announcement in case you are in the Florida area or in any of these supermarkets in some of these areas that might have a lot of these 55 and over housing kind of situations.
Yes, sir.
But apparently, Dan, if you're in the grocery store and just going about your business and you have a pineapple on the top of your cart, that's basically the signal for, hey, I'm looking. Did you know that?
I did not.
Basically, the pineapple is the DTF, the DTF symbol for all the older folks in at least the Florida region, from what I've now been told. And I find that both fascinating and terrifying at the same time. Dan, your thoughts?
So my thoughts are I have other stories. It's not the Villages, is it?
I don't know.
Where your cousin is?
No, I don't know. Because it's somewhere in Port St. Lucie, I think she is. I don't
okay.
know. Okay.
The Villages are one of the highest per like square inch STD rates.
I've heard about this. Yeah. Crazy, man. Those
because
crazy
the
kids.
Pineapple's on top. Like, that's apparently why. It's the pineapple's on top. And
this is a hard thing for me to like swallow here, because now, like, every time I see a pineapple at the grocery store, now that's all I'm thinking about. Now it's old people and
well, no.
You know,
you're gonna see a mid-20s female at the supermarket with a pineapple on top. You're gonna saddle
right.
up and be
it's like, "Hey,
well,
hey. Hi there,
hey.
How's it going?
Hey.
You know,
how's it going?
you know, nope, she's not interested. Apparently, she did not know what the pineapple situation was. Breaking news, by the way, Jordy Nelson." Questionable with a quad injury.
Any chance my DFS lineup's had.
Yeah, I had a lot of Jordy shares as well. I mean, I was looking for him in this game. Of course, now that means Randall Cobb, probably Davante Adams, you would imagine. 7-7 so far here in the first quarter as that's winding down here. But we are still heating up right here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We've got more Rewind for you. Dan and myself, we're going to get to the studs of week two, and there's plenty of them. Quarterback, wide receivers, tight ends. We got all. Running backs, defenses, you name it. We've got studs. We got it right here. And will they have pineapples? Well, you'll have to wait to find out. We'll be right back right after this.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
I was right there with you. Yeah.
Ow. Welcome back.
You can't see me right now, but I'm dancing.
Oh, I can feel the dancing. I can feel the dancing, Dan. It's good.
I'm dancing in my chair.
White man's overbite for Dan Strapper. He's doing hard superstitions, baby. Woo, yeah. Yeah, welcome back, everybody. This is the Fantasy Football Rewind. Joe Pizzapia, Dan Strafford. We're going to open the phone lines here. The number's 844-843-6879. Again, 844-843-6879. We encourage you to call, to rant, to rave. You want to drunk call us and bitch and moan about your fantasy team? Great. Absolutely. Let's do it. We got to hit the phone lines right now. We got Brandon from Illinois with a question. Brandon, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, brother. How you doing? How was your week two?
It's not very good. Week one was better, but right now I got one league. I got the other team. I'm down by 40, right? Like, so I got Amir Abdullah, I got Golden Tate, and I got Matthew Stafford. But I'm wondering if I should take Odell Beckham Jr. off my bench and put him in somewhere.
Down by 40? Dan, what do you think?
And I got
well, hold on, Brandon. Brandon, who would you be putting him? Brandon, who would you be putting Odell Beckham in for?
I could put him either in for Amir or Golden Tate.
Oh, well, then that's a no-brainer. I wasn't sure if it was like I could only take out Tate.
Wide receiver spot.
Yeah. That's kind of pushing it around. But you're telling me if the flex is where Abdullah is, you got to go for the home run here. You're down by 40. I absolutely do that. Dan, do you agree?
Yeah, I think you're down by 40. You take that swing. Do you know who your opponent has left?
He has nobody left.
Swing for it.
No, absolutely. Go for it. Because, you know, this is what are the chances of Amir Abdullah helping you?
Well, between Stafford and Tate, you could get 40 between the two of them, to be quite honest. I love Tate tomorrow night, especially if Janoris Jenkins is out. There were beat reporters for the Giants saying that he was downgraded to questionable as of today. If Jenkins is out, I think Tate could run wild in and of himself. So I guess the question becomes, can you get out of Amir Abdullah 40 yards and a score? I'd rather.
Yeah, but I mean,
you have
how many times
night, right?
have you used that phrase, Amir Abdullah and a
sure,
score?
Sure,
but I know, Brandon, I know what you're saying. If Jenkins is out, then that changes your tune a little
You
bit.
Should be fine. But, Brandon, you have till tomorrow night to make that change, right? Like, you can make it up until kickoff?
Yeah, I can wait till kickoff to trade in Odell for Amir.
Look, now I would have Odell in the lineup, and it would be the other way around. Wait until the last minute, and if you hear anything bad about an Odell, like he's going to be limited snaps or this or that, or, you know, last minute he's not playing, then obviously make the switch. But I don't know if you can get enough between just Tate and Stafford alone. I think you're going to need more. And I don't trust Abdullah. Is this a PPR, Brandon?
It is a PPR.
Yeah, even more, give me Odell, because I think even if he goes like 4 for 60 or something like that without a touchdown, I still think that 10 points is more than Amir Abdullah is going to give you. I really do. He's just gross, man.
All right, man.
Good luck. Hope it works out. You can call and yell at us next week if it didn't, all right?
All right.
You got it. All right, man. Let's get to the fantasy studs of week two. Certainly no shortage of some big-time performances and let's see. Let's start with the quarterback, shall we, Dan? Let's start with the passing leaders because it's my boyfriend, Tom Brady, at the very top of they put up 555 total yards in this game. I mean, that's a complete indictment of the Saints, but at the same time, you know, still an impressive thing. You know, 447, three touchdowns. He was sacked twice, but my goodness, he was 30 out of 39. So basically efficient. Just slinging it all over the place.
Yeah, efficient as all get out, even with the injuries continuing to mount for the wide receivers. I think really White and Burkhead. Now, Burkhead went out with a rib injury too, but I think between White and Burkhead, you have two running backs who are going to catch the ball a lot. That system produces great stats, and Tom Brady's a system quarterback. We'll continue to get it done.
You son of a bitch, and your system quarterback. You know what, Dan? Keep going, Dan. Whatever makes you sleep through the night, your system quarterback. You know, we did a whole show together last week. I haven't heard you say that in about a year, and here we go, and so it begins. All right. All right, Stafford, I got you. I hear you. Drew Brees with 356 in this one. Also, Carson Wentz, 333. I have to say, Wentz, to me, despite taking six sacks in this game, was really impressive. I know he didn't come out with the win. I was a little down on Wentz going into this season. I was not looking for him to have a big breakout, you know, developmental year. But it's starting to look like that's exactly what's happening. And I think Wentz is really just been outstanding and impressive so far. Even in the loss, you know, you go, you look at the stats, you look at the numbers. He's battling tough team here on the road. I think a great job by Wentz today.
Agreed. And I think this is just signs of things to come. I really do think this Phillies offense, if they just had a running back and it between Smallwood and Sproles and
LeGarrette.
It's just a bad scene. Yeah, well, he's a train wreck.
Well, you know.
I really, really think that Wentz is going to continue to develop. And we talked about Ertz a bit last week. He's not Antonio Gates. We have to remember that. He's not an athletic tight end who's going to do things that make him better. But he is there for his quarterback. He is targeted by his quarterback. And he'll continue to get 6 to 8 receptions a game. And I just hope one of those ends up in the end zone at some point for him. And I think that will just benefit Wentz that much more.
All right, as Dan and I were talking over the break, just two guys went over 100 yards this week in rushing. It was Carlos Hyde, 124 in just 14 attempts. No touchdowns, unfortunately. Same thing, Jay Ajayi, no touchdowns, but 28 for 122. I know everyone was concerned about the knee with Ajayi, but look, first shot out of the gate was certainly good. Are you of the mind, Dan, though, as time goes on, because he doesn't have the bye, that this might be a stock worth looking into moving at some point in the next 6 weeks?
I do think so. And I thought this was a weird place for the Dolphins, both on offense and defense, because they didn't play week one. So we could go off last season. We could try to compare them to other teams. But it almost made it much harder to gauge where the Buccaneers and the Dolphins fit into everything in week one. And I went after the Dolphins defense a little bit, played some Chargers. I didn't roster Ajayi at all. He looked good. And I really think if Pouncey's healthy at center for the Dolphins, that really bolsters Ajayi's stock. If somebody on that offensive line takes a hit and goes out to injury, Ajayi's not the running back who can make it on his own. So I keep an eye on that. If he has another big week, I would look to maybe make a move and get him. I don't know what you go after back, though. I'm always bad on that, trying to pull names out of the universe to who you would trade for. But I do think you try to move them and better your team.
Well, and that's the whole thing, because it's running back. It might be tough. You know, it might be a weird situation. Maybe a pair of Jai with somebody else. Try to bring in a higher end running back. Maybe you try to get a Le'Veon Bell from somebody, or you try to, you know, it's something like that. It's tough. But I mean, Ajayi is one of these guys, and if you're not going to be in a situation to trade him because it's tough, then you got to start making some other plans. You know, you got to start backing it up, because it could very well turn out to a tough second half. I hope it doesn't. I'd like to see Ajayi play well the rest of the year, but right now, with the knee injury and the usage and the no buys, it's like the perfect storm here for him to have a tough situation. Chris Carson, 20 for 93, no touchdowns for him. But really, Kareem Hunt was the stud for me. 2 touchdowns, 13 for 81, and he caught the ball as well. Kareem Hunt so far, I mean, certainly you can make the argument, early season MVP over the first 2 weeks, just making things happen. On the receiving end, Gronk smash, 6 for 116, but he also smashed his groin. So although he got into a touchdown dance there, unfortunately Gronk could be out next week. Who knows? I mean, right now the Pats are just riddled with injuries. Amendola out, we know Edelman obviously, and now if Gronk is out, you know, I'm of the mind that, you know, Brady can always be Brady, but eventually you gotta have somebody to throw the ball to. Then it's gotta be right. Somebody out there. JJ Nelson, 5 for 120 and a touchdown. Do you think Nelson can continue to be productive, or you think this is a weird one off of a bad Colts team?
I don't think it's a one-off, because he did it at the end of last year with the TDs, and I think he'll continue to score. But I do think this is going to be a real crapshoot of who is receiving for the Cardinals and how many opportunities they get when Carson Palmer doesn't look great. You know, how many targets are they going to get? How many actual receptions off of bad throws can they make? Nelson's athletic and he can go get the ball, so that helps him out a bit, whereas Fitzgerald obviously is 73 years old out there playing wide receiver, so he's not as spry. So I think Nelson is fine, and I think he's a good flyer at wide receiver week over week depending on the matchup.
Jason Witten with 10 for 97 and a touchdown. Also, Travis Kelce, a big tight ends day. Lots of tight ends here in this group in the top of the receiver
board. Isn't every day a big tight ends day?
Well, you know, it depends on how you like them, and I like them big. So that's there you go. There's your answer for you. Keenan Allen, 9 for 100. on this one too. You know he's going to be a target monster. It's just a matter of time. He'll get some touchdowns too. Also, Mike Evans, 7 for 93. Michael Crabtree, though, probably the performance of the day, 6 for 80. 1, 2, 3 touchdowns for Michael Crabtree. An outstanding day for him and the Oakland Raiders as they roll the New York Jets. But for every stud, there's a dud. There's the yin and the yang. And we're going to look at the downside of these fantasy guys from week 2 in the NFL, because I'm sure Dan's got some in mind. You're listening to The Rewind right here. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. Fantasy Sports Radio. This is The Rewind. Joe Pizzapia, Dan Strafford, recapping everything that was in week 2 in terms of fantasy of the NFL. And of course, the fun part about this show is, you know, the pop-in, because you never know who's going to come by. You never know who's going to just drop in and say hello. And this guy who's calling in right now, I know he's not doing anything. He's got nothing going on whatsoever. He's just sitting at home. He's got nothing. He's listening to the show. He's like, I'm going to call in and I'm going to wreck it because he's my dear friend. And he's our dear friend, too. You can hear him every Wednesday night on In This League. He is the one, the only, the better half of Bogman in the Welsh. Scott Bogman, what's up, Bog? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Steelers won, so I'm having an okay day. I still called in. So.
There you go. So not hammered enough. So I'm looking forward to like the angry drunk Steelers loss. That's what
I'm really
looking
drink. I don't really drink during the games because I want to remember what happened. So like I don't have an on or off switch. So if I'm drinking, I'm just drinking. That's
yeah.
It.
Well, do you ever drink to forget the game afterwards?
No. I mean, I used to, but you know,
when you get this past,
yeah, when you get this old, you know, you kind of start to get used to it. When you lose to the Patriots for the 7,000th time in a row in the AFC Championship,
that's true.
It's just like, what's a regular season loss to the Bucks gonna do? You know,
yeah, that's a good point of view. I love that he's talking about how like old he is, right? Like he's old. Like you don't know.
I mean,
old.
I'm not anywhere
not,
close to your age.
No, I mean, you know. No, we still got a good 10 years on you at least. So, but I like the fact that you're like a young old man. Like I, you know, I like that. That's a good thing right now. So week 2, what are you pissed off about? What was the most irritating thing that you saw week 2? Who was your favorite and most annoying player?
I don't know if any one player annoyed me the most, but just the games were terrible. Like the afternoon
Absolutely.
Games were okay, but the first set of games was like it was like 6 Thursday night football games. And those are only supposed to be Thursday nights. They were terrible.
Oh, you know what? I can't argue it. I can't argue that, Dan. I mean, it's you know, I've been saying this. Dan, do you agree with this idea that we talked about it last week? They should supposed to play 2 weeks of preseason. They should play the first quarter of the starters. Then week 2, play the starters a full half and then just let them go. This whole weird, like, nobody plays the 4th week and, you know, then they don't play the second half of week 3. And then there's this weird layover. I just feel like it's sluggish and it's crapped in. I mean, is there a fix? Is that part of the reason why it's bad, or is the product in a bad spot right now?
I think it's multiple. I think you got to get rid of 2 teams. I think contraction changes everything.
Oh,
you get
never
better
happen.
Players and better teams. Well,
you're
sure,
right, but it'll never happen.
And I think to your point, I think the other thing we do is get rid of a regular season, a preseason week, at least 1, if not 2, like you said, and you expand the season 1 more week and get everybody a second bye week. You know,
what
like
teams are you getting rid of? Let's make some fans really pissed at us.
All right, let's
now.
Get rid of the Jets. I mean, that's not really a
the Jets
team.
Are gone.
Start right there. Jets gone. I mean, seriously, they've haven't won anything since 1969. They're an organization that's bereft. I mean, they haven't been to a Super Bowl since then, let alone won one. And a team in New York that can't somehow figure it out with a fan base as big as they have. I mean, why not? I mean, as much as Dan's here and I enjoy tweaking him, can you make an argument for not getting rid of the Jets?
No, there's nothing for me. I mean, honestly, but seriously, like when you talk about, oh, you know, the area would suffer. Well, they have the Giants, you know, like it's not like they're losing out on the NFL. And you have the Eagles for Southern New Jersey, and you have the Bills, obviously, that New York would appreciate. So who gets screwed here? Long Island? I can deal with that. But I don't. This is a bad organization. I'd throw the Browns in there second, but the Browns have history, at least.
The Bengals.
It's the Bengals.
Bengals. I would go Jaguars.
The Bengals are terrible.
Jaguars is where I go. You know, it's hard.
The Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans are great for Buffalo, but the team has never repaid them.
The Bills Mafia scares
for...
the crap out of me.
Well,
I mean, they're great. But
I've been
Bills
to a game there. They were
amazing.
They were. It was a fun place to watch football games.
Weren't they? Yeah. Weren't they voted like the drunkest fans?
I believe. Well,
or like
was
best
so
pregame or something.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
probably what
it was.
It was
a good time. All I know is they had that field house rocking and rolling before. They had all this fun stuff to do. It was 20 below zero, and I was out there. I was wearing every layer of clothes.
Would you lose a bet?
No, I was going to see the Patriots. It was a birthday present ticket, and I went out there, and it was – no, seriously, it was like single digits, and there was wind chill stuff, and it was, you know, that episode
from
Friends.
That's why everybody's so drunk.
Yeah, well, exactly. So they can't feel the, the numbness setting in. What do they call that when frostbite. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Bogman. But you know that episode of Friends when Joey wears all of his clothes, everything he owns? Like, could I be wearing any more clothes? That was me. I was like Ralphie from, not Ralphie's little brother from Christmas Story. I couldn't put my arms down. That's how bad it was. But, you know, it's funny because you have some of these cities like Jacksonville, like Buffalo, these smaller market teams that have NFL teams. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it is partially the expansion too much, and it's never going to happen. They're never going to get rid of it. So how do you fix the talent problem, Dan?
I don't know. Do you have a minor league instead of college football? Do you have... you know, less practice squad players and more active players in another league somewhere that can come up and get more time. I don't know.
That's
what the answer is.
That's not a bad idea, though. What do you think of that, Bogman? You think there could be a potential where you would put that like a minor league football kind of situation where they're playing congruent, you know?
I mean, it's either that or it's actually bigger rosters. I would go the opposite way of what Dan says, just because you get more looks at more players at that point, and more players get practice, and maybe, you know, more rotations as far as players get in practice to get snaps with the first string. So when, you know, when somebody goes down, it's not a guy that's barely done anything at all. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a good point too. The problem is, from a fantasy perspective, that would be like the worst thing, right? Like, it's already difficult. You already hate the Patriots backfield. Now what? Hey, let's add four more running backs, because you know Belichick could. You'd be like,
you don't have to have that many actives, but maybe you just have deeper rosters. I don't know.
Maybe. Bogman, who's the first coach to get fired this year? Is it Fox? Marvin Lewis? Is it finally
Marvin Lewis?
How has he lasted this long? I mean, really,
I don't know. And you know what? That's probably a bad answer, because he's lasted that long. So probably Todd Bowles.
Oh yeah. I mean, this
sorry, Dan.
I have no problem with that.
He has the least amount of allegiance to his team than any.
That's a problem. I have a great deal of allegiance to the team that I still actually root for them. And my eldest is somehow a Jets fan, even living up here in Massachusetts. She is fully on board now. The middle one has already started to take on some Patriots showing.
She's smart.
She's very arrogant. She has like this really, like, she feels like they'll never lose. She kind of is boastful about things that she has nothing to do with.
She knows favorite.
But you know what, Dan? Honestly, she's more of a system kid. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, she's more of a kid born out of the system. Yeah, it's not so much a great kid so much as she's just a product of how great your household is.
I see. You just complimented me. You compared me to Belichick.
Is that a compliment for you?
Yes.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
The man's a genius.
Dan, if you were anything like Belichick, there's no way you could be on the radio. It'd be like, well,
that's
well you know, play.
What's amazing, what I truly believe still to this day, is that Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in Jets history.
And Browns history.
Yeah. Well, seriously. I mean, could you imagine those two franchises had Belichick, had they not moved and had they stayed put? And I love that story that Ozzie Newsome tells about, well, you know, after Bill left, then basically he gave me all his draft notes and then we moved. And the first player he had on his board was somebody nobody else did. And we ended up taking some linebacker and his name was Ray Lewis. And that worked out pretty good. You know, it's so funny.
Let's not forget that Rex Ryan coached Mark Sanchez to the AFC Championship.
Yes, sure. Let's not forget.
He was good at one point.
How about Rex Ryan on that morning show? You guys catch any of that ESPN?
Oh, no, I thought you were going to talk about Monday Night Football.
Oh, Monday Night Football was bad, and
he
I'm sure.
A train wreck.
You know, I already went crazy about the Sergio Dip thing, that nonsense.
I'm just happy that, you know, when it was Rex Ryan and a woman up there, he wasn't sucking on her toes during the broadcast.
Yes,
so
I think we're all happy.
I think we got lucky that we avoided that, so I'll just take what we get. Well, but Sergio Dip, I saw a couple of your tweets, but I didn't hear the epic rant.
The epic rant wasn't that it happened. It was the fact that of how he reacted afterward, which is like he goes, you know, he starts to talk about, well, yesterday was 9/11 and, you know, this country and all. And he starts to talk about him being an immigrant and, you know, and I honestly, my first instinct is anybody who made fun of that guy because English was his second language, whatever it is, or, you know, him being of a Latino heritage, that is dumb. That is the stupidest, most incoherent nonsense. Don't ever do that. That's so dumb, especially when you can make fun of him for being awful and awkward and hilariously bad at what he did, because this is America and I'm the grandson of an immigrant. And on top of which, I'm a son of a 9/11 survivor. And to somehow kind of co-opt that stuff and like, oh, feel bad for me. You know, it was a tough day and I got overwhelmed by all these things and, you know, and people should be nice to me. I'm like, shut up, man. You sucked. Grow up. I suck all the time on the radio, yet they still keep putting me on for some reason.
And
I don't know why.
Places.
Right. Exactly. I mean, God, you know, I'm Hey-o. Terrible. Hey-o. But you know what? It's just like, hey, we all screw up sometimes. We make fun of it. We move on and we try to get better. And that was my problem with him last week. Just get
now.
Better. Hey, now. I mean, right, Dan? I mean, how many times have you screwed up on the radio before?
Dude.
I mean, Bogman
is this show.
Bogman never screws up. That Bogman and Welsh are professionals, not like me and Dan. We're hacks. That's
when
why
I was first starting in AM.
Well, I'm not gonna
radio,
argue.
We gotta hit a break soon. Yeah. I don't know.
That's why I started that story there.
Yeah. Bogman, we love you. Tell everybody where they can hear the show. What time on Wednesdays?
It's on Wednesdays, 9 to 11 Eastern on FNTSY Radio, everybody. Come listen to us. We're funny. We're fun. Let's
Excellent.
Do it.
There it is. Bogman, listen to him. We'll be right back right after this.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Oh, yeah, boy. Welcome back. It's the Fantasy Rewind. I want to talk like this.
It's an awesome group.
It is. Love the Beasties.
Amazing live, too.
You saw them live?
Saw them live twice.
Wow. Wow.
I went to the...
like a music festival thing or just them?
No, it was the... It may put me in a bad spot with some listeners looking back on it, but it was the Mamadou Diallo rally concert at... Like, was that his name?
Yeah.
It was Beastie Boys. It was Rage Against the Machine. It was Bad Religion. It was an amazing show.
Well, I mean, I would show up if Rage and Beastie Boys are on a bill. I don't really care what it's for. It could be, it could be Save the Jets rally, and I'd be there. They're going to contract us. Please don't do it. I'll be right there. Dude, Rage is on. I'm so excited. I definitely want
that show, but they played for like an hour, 10 minutes, and they played a bunch of their old stuff, like their original punk stuff. And it was just, it was an awesome show, like absolutely insane. And they put on a show while doing it. They just engaged with the, well, obviously they used to engage with the audience. So Charlotte, just awesome and awesome live.
That's, yeah, it's a shame I didn't get to see them. Prince, there's a couple acts that I did not get to see live that I really wish I had. Just a field goal just now for the Falcons. They go up 17-7 on the Pack right now. Jordy Nelson, if you're just tuning into the program, he is out in the first quarter with a quad injury. another one bites the dust. I mean, this is just, maybe just go to flag football. There, I said it. I mean, maybe it's just, it's all just too much. You know,
yep.
It's amazing. The only thing I can think of, Dan, is for all of the nutrition and all the workouts and all the things, it's funny. If we go back to the, you know, the 70s and 80s where guys would, you know, just kind of drink and show up and not work out.
Yep.
You know, maybe it was a slower game. Yes, this is true. But maybe, just maybe, this, the constant taxing of one's body is just not meant to be done.
Well,
and they just blow up.
There, I am surprisingly not a doctor, nor a physiologist. But
I think
the more
this
and
whole
more
time
read,
you've been lying to me.
It's a sham. It's been a sham.
Ugh.
I'm like Manti Te'o's girlfriend. more and more. That's like a reference from like 8 years ago now.
Still funny.
Insane,
but, still funny. I mean, he was like all broken up publicly about it when it was going on. It was just
so amazing.
So catfished.
I think more and more we do get where you drive or you push your body so far and it takes less for it to injure. Like the more muscle and the more mass and the more speed and it's bad. Like these guys are getting bigger and stronger and faster and their muscles and their tendons are being stretched even further. And it doesn't surprise me that they pop more, you know, that they can't handle that weight and that strain. And do I think you dial it back? I don't think you can. This is the sausage isn't in the, like, whatever the phrase is.
Oh,
like,
whoa.
The cat's out of the
bag. Where's the sausage in the what now? It's
like
a family
how
show,
the sausage
Stratford.
Gets made. How sausage. But I was thinking more
well,
that.
Well, Dan, if you
trying,
sit down here. Son, I want to sit down and I want to tell you how the sausage gets made.
Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube was where I was actually trying to go.
How did you get from put the toothpaste back in the tube for how the sausage gets made? How is that even a phrase?
My idioms got crossed. Oh, yeah, that's how the sausage gets made.
You're an idiom.
You never heard that's how the sausage gets made?
No, I've never heard that.
Come on.
Can I Google that phrase? I'm afraid if I Google that phrase that the FBI is going to come and somehow, you know, steal my computer.
Idiom definitions for like watching sausage getting made. If something is like watching sausages getting made, unpleasant truths about it emerge that make it much less appealing.
So the unpleasant truth about sausage. Isn't that
it's
a Janine Garofalo
it's the casing.
Movie? I'm pretty sure that's a Janine Garofalo. Oh, let's get to the duds of week two.
That was
two.
The sequel to Cats and Dogs. Yeah.
Oh, that is such a... I got a story about that. I'll save it for later.
Oh, yes.
That might be an off-air story. All right, let's get to right now, week two. Let's talk about the duds at quarterback. My first one right off the bat there, Tyrod Taylor. Just 125 for him, not a good look, that is for sure. You know, Kaiser had a tough day, obviously, with the migraines. I don't want to, you know, throw too much shade on him. It was a Ravens defense as well. So instead, I'm going to throw a little shade at Marcus Mariota, who I think was a disappointing, despite the 37 points. 215, a touchdown and a pick. I would like a little bit more from him. Who was your disappointing quarterback this week? Was there one for you? Was it Russell Wilson, or was that just kind of expected?
I know. I thought Wilson would be a lot better. Wilson is up there for me. Cousins was disappointing. I don't know if I have to start believing in that Rams defense after 2 weeks. It's been two mediocre opponents. And I would throw, you know, I
believe
I don't
in any
love...
Wade Phillips defense, Dan. I'm going to just come flat out.
No, it's a great point. I think I'll continue to be disappointed with Carson Palmer. The numbers are there, you know, when you look at 332, but still another interception, four sacks taken, and he's not finding Fitzgerald, or I don't know, but it's just disappointing to see how that offense is playing right now.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson should have been able to also do more against the 49ers. I mean, you're at home. I mean, that's just atrocious. You know, I know the line is bad, but I mean, at a certain point, you know, I used to hammer Russell Wilson. I kept saying he's not the kind of quarterback that makes the other players around him better. And then he had that run in him that second half a couple years ago with Baldwin. And I was like, okay, wow. And then last year he was hurt. So, like, I kind of gave him a pass, even though it was more of the same stuff, because I know he was injured and he was playing through an injury. So I gave him kind of credit for that one. But I don't know, man. It's starting to really creep up like that again. Like, I'm just looking at it going, nah, you know, he is what I thought he was, in the immortal words of Dennis Green. All right, let's talk about some of the disappointing people from a rushing standpoint. There was no shortage of them. I mean, I think we got to go to the top, right? Ezekiel Elliott. Is there a bigger disappointment than him this week?
No, no.
Ezekiel Elliott, that's 8 yards, eight on 9 rushes. That's if amazing. You do the math, that's actually negative. Just want to put that out there, kids. Negative. How about LeSean McCoy, 12 for 9? Not much better. Oh, who is worse today, McCoy or Elliott? That's a fun game.
I think Elliott, because the surrounding pieces. Really, like, McCoy has to do so much more in that offense than what Elliott should be doing, just because the offensive line and the pieces around Dak Prescott and the like. But he was terrible. Like, he was just downright. When you have the likes of, like, Blake Bortles and
Tom Brady had more rushing yards than Ezekiel right. Elliott today. I just want everybody to put Carson that in perspective. Wentz,
I just saw I made the joke before about Wentz leading today. Carson Wentz leads the Eagles in rushing on the season.
Well,
over 2 games.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much what's going on there. Bilal Powell, kind of a disappointment again today.
Peyton Barber had 47 yards today.
This is a fact. This is a fact. Melvin Gordon, 9 for 13. He had the touchdown, so he kind of saved the day just a tad with the touchdown. Right now, also, if you continue to look, Tariq Cohen, that's another guy that people were looking for a big, big day at Tariq Cohen, and it was, you know, it was okay, you know, not great. He was got a little bit more obvious on the other side of the ball catching than he did rushing. It wasn't so much the rushing day for Tariq Cohen. Let's go to the disappointing wide receivers. Most disappointing wide receiver for you today, who was it? Is there one that sticks out for you?
I mean, there are a few. Fitzgerald Cooper? Probably is. Fitzgerald for me. Like, this is a prime matchup. If Larry Fitzgerald isn't doing it against the Indianapolis Colts, it's going to be a long, long season for Fitzgerald owners out there. That's probably my top. Yeah, I think it's got to be. Terrell Pryor disappointed me again, going back to that Rams game. I thought he was going to have a good matchup there and maybe come through.
I would buy on him right now. I would buy hard on Terrell Pryor, and I'll tell you why. Cousins sucked for the first 2 weeks of last year. He sucked in he always sucks in September. You know, and it's something about Kirk Cousins. I don't know what it is, if it takes him a while to get going, but I remember this time last year, everybody talking about him losing his job. Remember, it was the Colt McCoy is going to take over. All they want to run him out of town. Next thing you know, they
That's
go
when,
and they
you
off
like
a bunch
that
of wins.
Happen, right?
What's that?
That's when the
yeah,
you
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Exactly the famous you like that moment. That's what we wanted. Baldwin, another disappointing outing. You know, as a problem, you know, I'm not a big Russell Wilson fan, and now he's dragging down all my shares of Doug Baldwin along with him. What do you do? Do you just jump ship here, Dan?
It's tough. I think Wilson gets better as the season goes on here. I don't think this is going to be what we get, but with Richardson there, and like there's enough other pieces other than Doug Baldwin that when the offense throws for just 200 yards and rushes for 150 because they have Carson and Rawls, like they have all these pieces to rush with, and that's how that team is built, to run first and play defense. Baldwin's going to be a disappointment, I think, more often than not, unfortunately, there. I'll throw Brandon Cooks into the mix here, too,
yeah,
for New England.
When
everybody else is doing, you know, when everybody else is getting theirs in this offense, and it's going to be tough to feed all these mouths, but I was firm over the summer that I thought people who were projecting Brandon Cooks to be this 120 reception guy this year were absolutely foolhardy, because it just doesn't work that way in New England. It never does.
Nope, it never does. You're right.
You have Randy Moss, and that's the guy. And yes, you have
Randy
the Wes
Moss
Welkers,
is an all-time right Hall of Famer.
And
you know,
to think Cooks is going to go from a high volume situation in New Orleans to a high octane offense that is less volume because it spreads it out amongst more people and do better, blew my mind. And so I think we're going to see more of these sort of games from Cooks. He'll have one game where he has 12 receptions, 178 yards. Like, there's going to be an insane game between him and Brady, but I think they're going to
be
fewer and farther between.
He's like a best ball guy. You know, Cooks is a guy that you would prefer in best ball than week to week. And I think people need to realize this too. You know, understanding when you're playing these head-to-head weekly format things, you've got to look for, I've been saying this all offseason, but I'm sticking with it. I'm going to stick with it all the season until everybody gets on board. You need to build cash game style lineups. You need to have you need to be drafting guys like Crabtree, not Cooper. You need to be drafting guys that, you know, like Keenan Allen and guys that you know are going to be volume whores and guys who are going to always be there for you. And that's what you need to do. Now, hopefully everybody stays on the field, but, you know, it's just the beginning of understanding better how to use that format to your advantage. All right, we're going to hit a break. When we come back, maybe we'll release the hounds. It'll anger and who really ruined our fantasy days in week two. You're listening to the Fantasy Rewind Show with Dan and Joe. We'll be right back right after this on Fantasy Sports Radio.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
What's up, everybody? It's me and Dan. Talking about
all right,
football.
All right.
I like football. I like drinking. And I like going out and drinking while I watch football. And then sometimes I like to go and get my truck and just drive around. That's what I like to do. I drive around and think about my fantasy football team. And if you like to think about your fantasy football team and you want to get involved for a good cause, I'll tell you what you should do. You go to dailyroto.com/DKMS and you go there and you can play a game. It's a free game. Free daily fantasy game. It starts up again next week right here on Tuesday. You sign up. You can help people with blood cancer. All right. It'll be good for you. Be good for everybody else. And if you win that week, you go into a pool in week 17. You play, you know what you play for? You play to go to the Super Bowl. Two tickets, Dan, to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, don't get better than that, right, Dan?
I believe you're right. I was trying to come up with a snarky reply to your accent and just couldn't do it in time.
It's a little Ricky Bobby.
Here it is.
It's a little Ricky Bobby.
But it was going to be, you were saying you had two tickets. It was just like Eddie Money said.
I got two tickets.
Tickets to Paradise.
It's a great song, by the way.
Just you gotta, pack your bags.
You got to love a guy who's named Eddie Money. Like that's mm-hmm. that's just great. That's a money name. Oh, by the way, speaking of money things, did you see the Kareem Hunt laying down on the football today? Did you catch that one?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he like took a little nap on the football. That was his thing. He put the football down, laid down on it, went to sleep. You know, caught a little nap in the end zone, and it made me smile. And I said, "Oh, look, how nice! Something fun and entertaining. People having fun playing football, and I am all for it. Like this is what we should be doing. I'm very happy to see." You know, I haven't seen a lot of them, but I'd like to see more end zone celebrations, and I think that we'll start seeing them. Are you pro end zone celebration, Dan?
I am pro end zone celebration, though every time I say something like that, it just reminds me of basketball and the opening to basketball where they do the choreographed.
The choreographed dance. It's like the Lord of the
Lord of the Dance.
Yeah, the Lord of the Dance, the Michael Flatley thing. God, basketball is great.
It's
you
a
ever
great
play
movie.
Basketball? I've played basketball. It's fun.
Yes.
Okay.
Baseball is a good drinking one. Polish is another one that I've really started to enjoy more and more. But basketball is a good drinking game where you really just don't care about moving much.
Have you seen the new one that I posted on my Facebook page? Did you see that? The it's like cornhole meets golf and meets what do you call it? Meets beer pong. So it's basically like a beer pong setup, right? It's picture a cornhole board, right? And it's got all the cups for the beer pong. So you can chip the golf ball onto the other. You have to chip a golf ball onto the thing. And if you get it in there, then they have to drink, right? And so it's basically it's beer pong on a cornhole setup. And you're chipping golf balls instead of throwing beanbags.
But are you using real golf balls?
Yes,
that
I believe.
Like a bad idea.
I believe real golf balls. It sounds like a horrendous idea, and I want to do it. I really want to do it.
How many times would I be just yelling, four?
Well, probably by the second or third game, I imagine it gets a little sloppy.
Exactly.
But you know, we had a beer pong float. Our buddy Brian, our mutual friend Brian, actually, when we got the new house, he got the beer pong float for the pool. And we did play it, and that's a good time. Actually, in the pool beer pong, that was a good time. I like that one. But this looked fun. This looked like a good time, you know? It's I like when they combine a lot of different things. I like that.
Right. Like so you're like a frisbee golf fan?
I like Froth. Yes, I do like Froth. There's actually a Froth course about 15 minutes from my house because I live in that part of New Jersey where,
yes, you do.
You know, it's very, you know, what level of white do you have to reach in that town where you have a Froth course?
Well, like, is it actually next door to a field that is only allowed for Ultimate Frisbee? Like, it's not a football field. It's an Ultimate Frisbee field.
It might be. It might be. All right, we've got 1 hour left to go. That's two in the books, but we ain't done yet because we've got John Law from Football Diehards coming up. Plus, we're going to turn the page and look ahead to Monday night and week three as well. You're listening to The Rewind right here on Fantasy Sports Radio. We'll be right back after this.